Welcome to the Pirates Overboard podcast. I'm your host, Justin Ostwick, joined alongside Jonathan Luters. We are two student athletes excited to sit down with fellow Pirates to talk about their experience here at the Hall and learn more about them.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Guess what? It's the Pirates Overboard on the road, taking the show on the road. I'm in West Virginia right now, getting ready to swim at our mid-season meet at the University of West Virginia. Took a little bit, 6.5 hour drive to get down here. Nice and warm, though, surprisingly. Last year when we were here, it was snowing. So a nice little change of scenery. But here safe and sound, ready to rip some racings and talk about some of the fall sports. We have a lot to talk about tonight, Jonathan.
Yes, we do. It'll be a good fall recap. We're excited.
Yeah, how was your day today? Back in Jersey, it was a little cold this morning when we left at 7, but yeah. Did it warm up at all? Did you get to do a lot of good stuff?
No, it was cold. I think the second day this fall, we were below 32, and I was walking in at the wreck at the O-Dark 100 before 6 a.m., so you were right an hour after me, but it was cold, but it was a good day. Good day of practice. Vibes are good, so all good there. Now excited to be here and doing a little fall recap again. It'll be good.
Yeah, I'm pumped for it. I want to get creative with this one, just to change it up a little bit here. Now, your practices are done kind of soon for the fall, right?
Yeah.
You're kind of winding down for fall semester, yeah?
Yes, yeah. So we're individuals right now, which is kind of just small group work. We're not really practicing as much as a team because of the hour restrictions for our fall schedule. We will do like one team practice on Friday. We'll all just kind of come together, but for right now, it's just this week and then 2 days next week before Thanksgiving, and then after that, it's more stuff on your own because of the hour restrictions again, so until we start back up after winter break. So yeah, kind of coming down to the last couple of days here at practice.
Yeah, it's kind of, once the semester, first semester especially, like Christmas, Thanksgiving, everything starts to wind down, and it really flies by. Like I know,
yeah.
Like for the swim team specifically, like we have this week where we're basically on the road. Like,
right.
We left this morning. We're going to swim all weekend, get back Sunday. Then we have 2 days of school. Then we're back. We can go home for Thanksgiving. And right. Then we're back at school for a couple of weeks. And then
right. Up,
it's Christmas. So it's a great little time to be a student athlete just because you're competing a lot. You get to see family. It's also a stressful time as well because obviously with finals coming up and stuff like that. But we're gonna talk about what's going on in the sports world of Seton Hall in this fall semester. And a lot, like we said, a lot to talk about here tonight. We're going to start off, first things first, women's soccer, who had a phenomenal season this year. Had some really big wins in the Big East Conference, including a win over Xavier, a tie with Georgetown, which they almost – we were in the studio that day, Jonathan. Do you remember?
We were
watching
that.
It kind of hard. They're up 1-0. They're up 1-0. And then in the 87th minute, Georgetown ended up tying it.
It was
so
such a bummer.
They have had a really great season, and it came down to the wire to make the Big East tournament when we had Natalie Tavana on earlier on in the fall. She made a point of emphasis that her goal for the team was to make the Big East tournament, and they were a game short,
which it
really stunk, but at the same time, it was really great to see how they've grown this past season.
100%, yeah, and that – I know we were recording on the day of the Georgetown game, and we watched part of it before heading over, and man, like, they were so close. They're up 1-0, and then I think – I forget if it was the first goal, because it was a 1-1 tie. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it was 1-1.
Yeah.
They scored the first goal in the second half.
Right.
And then it was later in the 87th minute, I think it was. I think it was like there was 3 minutes left.
Yes.
And like, think of that. Georgetown's the 12th ranked team in the country. They made the NCAA tournament, and you tied that team.
Right.
So that's incredible for them.
And to add on, obviously having Natalie as the phenomenal soccer stud she is, the goal that she scored was ridiculous. It was just like the Columbia goal that we were talking about her on with her. Oh my gosh, it was very, just like, just on the opposite end of the field, like just an absolute rocket, just keeper couldn't handle it, and it was probably honestly, it looked like 20 plus yards out, and just an absolute missile. So Natalie, big shout out to her, all the awards that she got as well. We're going to touch upon that real quick, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to, right now actually, she ended up winning the Big East Offensive Player of the Year, which, it's a huge award. She got it announced by Kelly Smith, who was a legend here at Seton Hall, with women's soccer, and she is, I think, no one's won that award since Kelly Smith. So, great job on her on a fantastic season. And she still has one more to go. She's going to improve so much between the off season. So, I cannot wait to see come back to campus next year and get to see her, how she's improved.
Absolutely.
From year to year.
Yeah, it was really cool to watch. I know we were checking on the stats, doing kind of the research before her episode, and we're like, oh my gosh, she's like 1-2 in every offensive category. Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. And it seemed like when she was on, which was pretty much every game, like the Pirates had a chance to win. And what a cool thing with Kelly Smith to kind of present her the award over Zoom, and like that's such a unique way to do it. And what a way of honor, like from the Seton Hall, from one Seton Hall Pirate soccer player to another one, kind of passing on the torch per se. So yeah, wicked excited to see her next year. I know she's only a junior, just have her senior season coming up, so it'll be really cool to watch.
Yeah, just really quick, I'm going to pull up her individual stats this year just for everybody to just be like, whoa. Yeah. So she played 17 games this year, started 17, played in 17. She logged 1,400 minutes. She had 12 goals, 2 assists, and 26 points on the year.
Wow.
Insane amount of offensive firepower she was able to bring this season. And it's like you just said, it's going to be exciting to see what she can do here in the future with the Seton Hall Pirates. Now, as we go from women's soccer, let's go to the men's soccer side. Now, kind of a little more heartbreaking, too, because they had that momentum going into the tournament. They beat Providence on the last day of Big East play to make it into the tournament as the 8th seed. Great performances from James Boot, who we had on, their goalkeeper Mats, and so many other amazing plays that they had to get. Like that 1-0 win, we were at a swim meet.
Yeah,
Jonathan, and I think you were actually there. You might have been there. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But we were at the swim meet, and I'm sitting with my buddy Walker, and I'm getting the tweet threads from WSOU Sports. I'm like, we scored a goal! We scored a goal! We're going in!
We got it!
So, and finding out that James, we talked about it briefly, like the luck of the podcast. He scored a couple goals this year.
Yeah. Yeah. What the? You might have the stats pulled up right there, but I think he.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I got it here.
How many goals did he score relative to the rest of his career? It must have been the podcast. A little sparkle right there for the.
I'm going to say so. Remember, I think it was before he came on the podcast, he had one goal in his first 3 or 4 years here.
Right.
And then he came on the podcast, and then he couldn't stop scoring. He had 6 goals on the year and 5 assists.
Wow. And that's a good, for his position, too. Like, his position, it wasn't like an attacking striker or anything like that. He was much more kind of setting up play, distributing out the ball. Mm-hmm. I think that was kind of like his style of play. He even mentioned that when he came on the podcast. And for him to score 6 goals, 5 assists, have all these points, it was awesome. So that was a really cool way for him to go out. So, yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, and seeing Andre Borg and Mark Wallier and Tim Strobeck have great seasons. They're going to come back next year. Not Mark and Andrea Borg, but Tim Strobeck is going to come back next year, and so many others. That team is going to come back even stronger. Now, they got into the Big East tournament. They had faced the 1-seeded Georgetown Hoyas, and they lost a close one. They lost 2-1 at Georgetown, and that was another crazy game. I didn't get to watch it because I was at a swim meet again, but I'm following it through WSOU Sports.
Right.
Georgetown scores a goal in the first, I think, the first half.
Right.
And as they were describing it on the broadcast, they're like, well, they got to change something up coming out of halftime. They got to make the momentum swing. And what did they do? They score a goal right after out of halftime.
Right.
Momentum swung. Then apparently there was a delay, there was a red card, and they were playing with 10 men.
Yeah.
So then it was kind of the same situation with women's soccer where they had 10 men and Georgetown scored in the 87th minute. Mm. Again, a heartbreaker that the boys, they fought their butts off. And it's going to be a good way for Coach Lindberg to kind of use this as, hey, we're going to build off this because we're not going anywhere.
Right.
They had a fight through this season, and they did fantastic, and they still were able to make the tournament, and they're going to be even better next year.
Right, 100%. And I think James and Mark said it, but in Big East soccer, anyone could beat anyone. And the men's coming in as the 8 seed, sneaking into the tournament, playing the 1 seed at their home field. And to put them, even though they didn't win, and obviously I know all of them wanted to win that game, to give them a real run for their money. It wasn't like any blowout of a game or anything like that. It was a really hard-fought game. Even when Georgetown was here, it was a rainy day. It was tough conditions, and it was, I think, Seton Hall, we scored first, and they later on scored and scored another one. Unfortunately, it was a tough loss, but a really hard-fought battle. And I think moving forward, obviously, taking away the positives, I think the team can really take away a lot of really good things from this season and move forward with this, because it was they battle every game.
I couldn't agree with you more on that one. So going off of soccer, we're gonna jump to volleyball, who's still in season right now. They are killing it. They are right now tied for fifth in the Big East, and right now the top six seeds get into the Big East tournament, so they're fighting for position right now. They play to Paul tonight. And right now that's the team they're tied with for fifth. So tonight, it's a huge game. So if you can somehow watch that, Pirate fans out there, if you're actually not going to hear this until Monday, but we'll know Monday that where we'll be seated possibly. So you go two DePaul tonight and two Marquette on Saturday. So we're going to find out. And they haven't made the tournament since 2016, which is a huge gap. It's been 7 years since we've made it back. And I know they were close last year, and they're right on the precipice this year. So I'm excited to see what they kind of do tonight, trying – sneak away for a little bit and watch that a little bit.
I think all the common theme with these upperclassmen is like, hey, the goal is either to like win the Big East tournament, or if they haven't made it in a while, like, it's to make it. And for volleyball, we had Perry Lucas on and Anna Hall, and they were both saying like, hey, we had a goal when we first came here as freshmen, because they hadn't made it since 2016, and that was a couple of years, and now all the way becoming their senior year and being a junior would be a senior next year, they're like, hey, like, this is our goal. We have a chance right now to make the Big East championship, and they're battling hard all season. They had some rough patches and had some really good stretches, and just like kind of the nature of a tough long season. And they're really fighting, and we're excited to see them play tonight at 8 p.m. I know a lot of Seton Hall sports go on tonight with both basketball teams getting going. We'll get into that a little later on, but definitely rooting for the volleyball girls tonight. It'll be a good matchup.
Right now they're 14-13 on the year, 8-3 at home. So big home field advantage here at the Hall. 8-8 in conference, which is a really good mark to be at 500. And like you just said, they've had some good streaks lately. They beat DePaul 3-2 in Walsh back on October 14th.
Right.
But then the real stretch came when they beat Georgetown 3-2. They beat Butler 3-2. That was at the end of October, the 21st and 27th. And then they swept UConn in stores on November 3rd. And then they beat Providence and St. John's back-to-back. So they're kind of on a little bit of a hot streak here. Now, they ran into the buzzsaw of the Creighton Blue Jays, who's the 15th-ranked team in the country. But they played them tough. Like, if you look at the box score, it wasn't like they were getting blown out of games here.
Right.
In the first set, they lost 25-17. Second set, 25-18. Third set, 25-21.
Yeah.
So they played some really competitive volleyball with one of the top teams in the conference and in the country.
Yep. Yeah. And I know, like, that was going back to, like, I think it was Penn State early on in the season, a really high-ranked Penn State team. And they even took a set from them. And just to take away the positives, even though, like, you lose a game, you lose a set and whatnot, taking away the pauses from those and to take a set and to have really good – I was at the game for Creighton for a little bit, and they had really good stretches there for a while. And obviously, like, to battle through a really hard-fought game, because it wasn't, like, lopsided one way. That shows a lot of grit and determination, obviously, that you need that to get in the tournament and to play well in the tournament. So looking forward to watching them later on tonight and see what happens.
Yeah, and it's like you kind of said with soccer, and same thing with volleyball. Any team can beat any team on any night.
100%.
That's you got to play the game. And even like this weekend down at West Virginia, we're swimming a Big 12 team, obviously, in West Virginia. We're swimming Navy, Delaware, Drexel, or Villanova, Old Dominion's down here, William and Mary. So some really fast swimming and some really good diving down here. So it's just got to go out there and play the game and see what goes on.
Yep.
And that's what they're going to do tonight against DePaul. And they're going to hopefully kick some butt and earn that spot, because I think that if they win tonight, they're in for sure.
Yes. I think they need to win tonight. And I think a few other things might need to happen on the other end, like in the conference. I could be wrong on that one. I might have to double check.
But I
think
obviously I can double check here really quick.
Yeah, you might correct me if I'm wrong here. If they win out, they're in because of where they are in DePaul. But I think they might need some help too, like if they split and whatnot. But just confirm that for me real quick.
So right now, us and DePaul are 8-8 in conference, tied for fifth, with Villanova technically seventh. These were the tie for fifth at 7-9. So if Seton Hall wins tonight, there'll be 9-8. They'll be sole possession of fifth, dropping to DePaul to sixth. You have to see what Villanova does. They're the little sneaky team. They have Providence and UConn to finish up on November 17th and 18th. So they're also on the road. They're on a three-game skid as well.
Okay.
So I think if they win, they're pretty solidified into the tournament. Like I said, there's obviously outside factors with Villanova and see what they have to do.
Right.
But you got to feel confident if you got to win tonight. That's probably what the message is being sent right now as they traveled. Yeah. I think yesterday going into today, like, win, we're good, we're in.
Yeah. Yeah, just kind of like the rush or adrenaline push. You know, you're kind of pressed against the wall a little bit, and just you're not gonna, like, some teams when might be a higher ranked team, like one or two seed, the guy, like, the pressure's not really there because they know they're in, they know their seed's locked. It's like win or go home kind of deal now for the volleyball team. So their adrenaline will be going and pumping, and it's gonna be kind of cool to see these last couple matchups because everything's on the line now. So it'll be really neat. And
yeah.
I want to add one more thing. Just looking at kind of the stats here for overall the season. They were 8-3 at home, and the record was 14-13. So majority of their wins coming at home. Big shout out to all the fans that came out to support the women's volleyball team. So really cool.
Yeah, that's for sure. Those games get packed, and for good reason. And 8-3 at home is no joke.
Yep.
So let's go on to cross country. We'll go men's and women's. We had Stephen Beeman and Honey Strohslater on the show way back in September, but they had a really good fall. This past year, winning a bunch of tournaments left and right to begin. They had their Big East Championships a couple weeks ago in Wisconsin, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
I think it was Wisconsin. They had a really good showing there as well. But they got to win some tournaments.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was good. And also, again, for men's cross country, obviously they're not on campus as much, so we don't have to see them run, but they go off campus.
Yeah.
Earlier on, I'll have to pull up the name of the race that Stephen won, but Stephen Beeman winning one of the invitationals right after coming on the podcast.
Yep.
No coincidence there or anything like that.
It was the Embry-Riddle Cross Country Classic down in Daytona.
There we go.
One. So just to kind of recap their fall, they won the Salisbury University Fall Classic. They won the Dutchman Invitational. They won the Embry-Riddle Cross Country Classic. This was as a team, everybody.
Right.
So really good performances there. They came in third place in the Metropolitan Championships. That was out at NGIT. And then they finished in fifth in the Highlander Invitational. This was on for the Highlander and the Metropolitan Championships. This was on the women's side, placing-wise. And then they finished 11th at Big East and 24th at Mid-Atlantic Regionals.
Julia Smith obviously crushing it for the women's side, along with Honey Stroh and everyone else on the women's cross-country team, had a good season. We'll just highlight Julia Smith here first. Top team time at the NCAA Mid-Atlantic Regionals, led the way for the Pirates of the Big East Championships, and also for the ECAC Championships as well. So she kind of dominated October and November for the Pirates and posted a strong time of 21:46 on the 6K course and was first place for her squad. Behind her was Paige Quigley. I want to make sure I pronounced that right. And then that was a freshman season, so Paige, look out for good things that come for Paige. And Honey Strohslater was next on the team with 22:39.5. So lots of good stuff for the women's cross-country side this season, and lots of things to build off of going into next year.
On the men's side, for the Salisbury Fall Classic, they finished second. In the Dutchman Invitational, they finished first. The Embry-Riddle Country Classic, they finished first as well. That's where Stephen won.
Right.
The Metropolitan Championship at NGIT, they finished second. The Highlander Invitational, they finished seventh. At Big East, they finished ninth. The ECAC Championships, they finished 31st. And then at NCAA Mid-Atlantic Regionals, they finished 23rd. And we highlighted Stephen Beeman. He also did really well at the NCAA Mid-Atlantic Region, where he finished with a 32:08 pacing the field for the Pirates with Logan Brunozzi with a time of 32:45. So great, great improvement here for the Pirates here. And I really want to see them progress. It's like we talked about in the episodes with them. They're a very young team, and they're just going to get better and better as they go.
Yeah, it's kind of looking at the roster over here, like they don't really have many upperclassmen at all. It's a very much freshman, sophomore dominated team. And the fact that like a sophomore like Steven is leading the way, taking leadership on the team, so many first place finishes amongst the team for him. So only going forward, he only has bright things ahead. So we're gonna be excited to look back next year and or look ahead to next year and see how he does. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, and they're only going to improve, so that's going to be exciting. Let's go into my realm a little bit here with the swim and dive teams. It's been a really good fall semester for both the men's and women's side. For the men's side, they started off to a 4-0 start, beating Lehigh, Drexel, which was a really close, tough meet, a real big battle on a Friday afternoon, but came away with a win, beat Ryder and Monmouth to round out the bunch. Kevin Carey, who won Big East Swimmer of the Week the week of the Monmouth meet. He went 140 in the two free, which, so the non-swimmers out there, crazy time. Like, crazy time in season. So he's been kicking butt. And then on the women's side, they've started off to a 3-1 start. They've had great contributions from Natalie Heim and all that senior class. Natalie Heim, Nicole Bastian, Leia Istanbuli, who we had on the show earlier, and Sylvia Alessio, who we're going to have on later at some point. She's a diver. She has broken both records on 3-meter and 1-meter already. So she has been really killing it. We're going to have her on soon. She's a transfer from Fresno State, but it's been a great season. And this is, like we've talked about a bunch of times, it's the true test for the swim and dive team, that first check mark.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, looking forward to seeing what you guys can do down in West Virginia. We're excited. We'll be following that. Good luck to you, Justin and Walker.
Thank you.
I know you're kind of back there as well listening, so big shout out to you guys there.
Yeah, he's not even listening. He's just on his computer just sitting there. Yeah, he's just doing whatever. But yeah, it's a really cool facility. I'm going to have to try to – I'll show you pictures. Right now, so the facility, I'll try to describe best I can. It's on the top of a mountain. Okay. And all around it is just valleys, and it's gorgeous up there. Like, the sun comes up over the valleys once we get the mountains, I guess you can say. Once we're getting ready to warm up, and you're on top of the world for a couple hours each day. So it's a really cool facility. Definitely one of those atmospheres that I can't wait for, because there's so many teams at this meet. Like, the prelims is going to be loud, and finals is going to be loud. Like, the stands are going to be filled. It's going to be so much fun this week. So you'll get to hear some of that once we get back from West Virginia next week, and just talking about it. And basketball just started up, and we had Alamir Dawes on earlier in the week. We're going to touch on them briefly here. They've really just not a lot of games into their season. They're really more of a winter sport, but we got to highlight them a little bit too. So on the men's side, they've gotten two wins so far over St. Peter's and FDU. Kadari Richmond earning the Big East honor roll, averaging 16 points, 6.5 rebounds, and 4.5 assists in his first two games. So a really good start for them. They have a game tonight against Albany, so we're going to see how that goes and hopefully get another win and get a nice undefeated season so far.
Yeah, no, it'll be good. We have, two games at the Prue Center and then one game in Walsh. It was really cool to see Walsh Gym, a bit of a smaller venue than the Prue Center, but really cool to see that packed and see it alive, to say the least. They played FDU, and I actually came by for second half. Like, oh, man, we're already pretty ahead in this game, but it was really cool to see them work together and see how the team's kind of shaping up. Obviously, they're being a winter sport. We don't really see much of the action in the fall and whatnot, and then they come in the winter. Winter time comes around, and boom, here they are, and they're looking good. We're excited to follow them. Obviously, the game versus Albany tonight, and going to all the games at the Prue Center would be really fun, so looking forward to that.
Yeah, and they have a nice little homestand. They got Albany on today. I think they have Wagner on Saturday. And then they go travel out to San Diego to play in their tournament, where they play USC and I forget who else is out there. I know they play USC on Thanksgiving at 5:30. Mm-hmm. I'll be part of that broadcast to WSOU, so I'll be in the studio on Thanksgiving.
Very nice.
So if you want to call Hall on anybody, I'll be in the studio with Joe Morales. So let's go to the women's side really quick as we kind of wrap it up here with our last sport. Women's basketball is 2-1 on the year. They've got wins over Iona and Bryant so far. Another huge game. They're double dipping. I don't know what – we talked about it before the show. Two games at once is insane. Yes. They have Rutgers tonight. Micah Gray, Azana Baines, Amari Wright are leading the charge so far. Gray with 15 points per game, Baines with 10 points, and Amari Wright with 9.3 points per game. So it's a nice little three-headed monster on the offensive side. So they're looking great. I guess it's one of the Garden City Classics here tonight with Rutgers and Seton Hall.
Yes, it is. And right here in Walsh Gym, obviously. And we're excited for that. But I know Rutgers Seton Hall game pretty early on in the season. I thought that would be a thing more in December, maybe January. But getting on early. So it'll be good. I'm excited. I haven't been to one of the women's game yet this season. So I'm going to pop by right after this and be excited to see them play. And I know we've been trying to get Azza Baines on. She's been extremely patient and very receptive to us trying all to get in scheduling, all that. I mean, no, she's in season, Justin, you being in season, so we got a lot of schedule balance out. So Azza, thank you very much for being patient. We appreciate that. We'll definitely get you on sometime soon.
And we're making it work because they're getting ready to go to the Bahamas next
week.
Yeah,
right?
They're traveling to the Bahamas for the week. I'm like, that sounds great. I'm going to go by the beach for a little bit. But they're gonna keep killing it. And we can't wait to have them on later in the week. Not later in the week. I'll be here still later in the week. But later on in the month or even in December, we'll figure it out, though.
Definitely.
So patience is key in this industry that we've learned.
Definitely.
So we kind of went through things quick. Has there one quick question for you, Jonathan? Has there been a moment in this fall that has really stood out to you within our fall sports?
One moment in any of the sports?
Any of the sports that we kind of ran through?
Well,
real quick,
I'm gonna say just because I was there and I saw it live, I'm gonna have to go with Natalie's goal because like just how far I didn't, maybe it's gotten by as a soccer player in high school maybe, but it was just an absolute, like, just missile. Just so much like the goal she had in Columbia. And in such a crucial moment, too. There was no score. Playing Georgetown, ranked 15th in the country, at home, big game. And just, like, the way she, like, outside the 18-yard box, just right in top right corner, just an absolute snipe. So I think that moment was really cool to hear the crowd go absolutely wild. It was really, really neat, too. Because the packed stadium, Georgetown fans travel well, so shout out to the, I guess,
yeah,
the Georgetown
fan,
because they packed the one side and Seton Hall side was packed. So it was that. I think that was one moment that kind of stuck out to me.
Yeah, I think for me, and I know I wasn't there, I kind of have two. I'm going to cheat my own question. I'm going to have two. For volleyball, when they played St. John's and swept St. John's the way they did, like looking at the box score here, and like I just knew through social media, winning 25-17, 25-17, and 25-20, hard-fought wins to really get momentum going in that three-game win streak,
right.
Huge. I think that's a huge momentum, like, for their season as a whole, to keep that winning streak going. St. John's, one of the top teams in the Big East for volleyball, and getting a sweep over them, huge for them. Right now, St. John's is 12-4.
Wow.
So the Pirates really coming through.
Absolutely.
And keeping their Big East hopes alive. And the other one, James Boots scoring the goal against Providence late in the game. Like I said, wasn't there for it, but if I was, I would have been going nuts.
Right.
That was his season on the line.
Yeah.
And he kind of talked to us about it. Like he didn't want that to, he wanted to make sure he made that tournament and he made sure of it by scoring that goal and getting that win. So I think those are my two moments for sure. As we kind of wrap up here and just get ready as we get more into winter sports and almost your sport, buddy.
Yeah.
Spring.
Yeah. No, I want to give James one more shout out. I know him being a grad student as like ourselves, and he will not be coming back in the spring because he's now done with soccer. And I think he's will be graduating and then move on to the real world, and give him a shout out because of he's been a phenomenal human being, phenomenal player, obviously, too. Throughout his time here at Seton Hall, and obviously getting to know him a little better on the podcast is really cool. And he was our first episode bearing with us as we kind of got this thing going. So shout out to James. Good luck to you and whatever else you do after this, and you'll be a Pirate and always be our first episode here at Pirates of the World Podcast. So
yes,
there we go.
So that will do it from us. And this is a little bit of a weird episode for us, a little shorter, a little bit of a fall recap, not an interview, but that's okay.
Yeah.
We're changing it up. And I hope everyone is enjoying it. And we'll talk to you next week before Thanksgiving. We're going to have an interview set up, hopefully, we're crossing our fingers. But if not, happy Thanksgiving to everybody if we don't get there. And we will talk to you next time.